We're looking at the parable of the talents, and as we're learning about stewardship, it really has a lot to do with this idea of being a provider. That's sort of what I was handed. And as we think about being a provider, we're really talking about being a good steward, because the truth of the matter is this. I want you to sort of highlight this verse and just kind of hold on to it. Remember in the book of James, it says in verse 17, you don't have to turn there, but just listen. I love this verse. It says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Pause for a second and let me get your attention. Remember, everything in your life that's good, God has given you. You believe that?
Yes.
You recognize how many good things God has placed in your life. I mean, aren't we always discovering new things, different things? God is good. And he gives us good things, but he sort of gives us these good things with a responsibility attached. A stewardship attached. I want to ask you a question, sort of write this down and think about it. Do you believe that what has been given to you and I is something that is a stewardship in your life? Your money, your time, your talents, your resources, your family, your wife, your kids. Do you see those things as being given from God, sort of on loan, if you will? Take care of these things for me. Take care of these people for me. This is what the Bible tells us. I want you to write down this thought as well. God's provisions and blessings are totally God's call to be a good steward. God's blessings, his provisions, are his call to be a good steward. God gives us things to be responsible with. Hold that thought. You know, as we think about the world we live in, it was funny, not too long ago, there was this lady in Australia that was so engrossed in her Facebook, man. She was like totally focused on her phone and thinking about, you know, how popular she is on Facebook and walking on this pier and not paying attention. She's walking on a pier that doesn't have a completely cordoned off area. You know, in other words, there's no railing. You can fall into the water. She's sitting there looking at her phone, and all of a sudden she falls into the water, the chilly water in this particular bay, and police had to go in and rescue her. And when they finally get to her, they rescue her. She's still holding on to her phone, and the only reason she didn't drown is because she had a backpack on and it helped her float. And they rescue this lady and they pull her out, and you know, she's sort of apologizing and totally embarrassed and still holding on to her phone. And of course, they sent her off to the hospital for a checkup. But I think that we've seen many things. Perhaps this same lady was driving in front of you on the way to the retreat, you know, looking at her phone on Facebook. You know, they're so popular these days to be distracted and taken and focused on all the wrong things and pulled in many different directions. This story really caught my eye because I think because not only was it funny, glad lady didn't get hurt, but it sort of symbolizes, I think, to me, how many people are not paying attention to what's right in front of them. Sometimes we're not paying attention to how good God has been to us right in front of us. You know, he's given us so many things. He's given us resources. And sometimes we can get our eyes on the wrong thing. Spiritually speaking, we can be distracted, sort of dazzled away from seeing our need for the Lord and our need to be responsible with what God gives us. Or really more to the point, even as Christian men, we're distracted away from the things that God wants us to be focused on. We're distracted away with this present world, with all of its glitz and glare and all of these things that's there that pulls us and consumes us. And we so often need to have our perspective put back on the Lord and live to honor God with what he gives us. You know, it was C.S. Lewis that once said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most in the present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one. You know, as we live our lives, we have a choice to either be an investor in eternal things or to be caught up in temporal things. Today we're going to learn one of the parables of Jesus, a parable that challenges us to be good and faithful servants with what God gives us. Do you know you're called to be a good and faithful servant? And Lord, the Lord wants to empower you, strengthen you, and help you to be responsible with what he's placed in your life. Now, as a way of introduction in terms of Matthew chapter 25 and in terms of parables, perhaps you know Jesus' reasoning behind his parables, but especially when Jesus taught, many times he would give a vision of life, especially an illustration of the kingdom of God, to sort of put and make practical the idea of the kingdom of God. His use of parables many times grew out of conflicts and difficult situations that he found himself in with religious critics. And so these parables many times answered wrong understanding or wrong ideas of those around him, Pharisees, or even those that were just living in blatant sin and not thinking about life after this life. They uncover truth and really kind of promote the kingdom of God. And there's all kinds of things we could talk about with regards to their purpose. But the reason why I want this parable to be studied and why I thought the Lord really put it on my heart to share with you guys is because, number one, as we look at the parable of the talents, as we look at verses 14 through 30 in Matthew 25, we're called, I think, in reading this parable to be good stewards of the things that God gives us. We're called to be good stewards. We're also reminded of the things that really count for the kingdom of God. We're reminded that throughout our lives, we're presented with new opportunities to make a difference. Are you going to do what pleases God, or are you going to do what pleases yourself? Are you going to be a good steward or a lame-o, lazy servant, like what we read about today? We need to be reminded constantly that Jesus is going to come back one day, and we will have to give an account for the things in our lives. It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Lord, I'm like, Lord, help me to look for that day in confidence and not cowering and wondering, but to be living confidently and a good steward of those things. You know, God gives us all kinds of stuff. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us time. And really, as we think about the idea of being a godly provider, which is kind of the title of this message, being a godly provider, man, it has a lot to do with our money. You know, it's interesting how you can look at a person's life and find out how much they're surrendered to the Lord by where they spend their money, where their resources go, how they take care of their family or take care of just themselves. God gives us a lot of things to be good stewards over, our finances, our families, and we're called to use those things and to promote those things for the furtherance of God's kingdom. Now, the truth is, these parables in Matthew really encourage us to be those that actually, here in especially chapter 25, it's really an encouragement to be those that are really just loving this whole idea of Jesus coming back. But also, those that don't just love the idea of Jesus coming back, but actually look for Jesus to come back. You know, hey, I love it, and now I'm looking. You know, guys, we live in a time where Jesus could come back soon. I mean, we could really be done with this retreat and Jesus comes back. Amen. And in the meantime, as we look, as we love and think about being reunited with the Lord and meeting him in the air, the whole idea of what we're studying here today is being those that are laboring faithfully until Jesus comes back. Jesus teaches some pretty incredible things here. And ultimately, there's three sections to this parable that have to do with making our lives really matter for eternity, with being a godly provider. Three elements to this parable. If you're taking notes, you can write them down. The first one is, if we're going to be a godly provider, we have to believe in our responsibility. And that's what we find in verses 14 through 18. We also have to understand that there's a reward involved in verses 19 through 23. And we also need to be those that, in a very reverent, a very respectful, a very awe, Lord, I want to do what's right in your eyes, believe that one day there'll be a reckoning in verses 24 through 30. So the first element in this parable is about responsibility. Let me just kind of take a second and just sort of ask you guys, have you ever felt like you had a lot of responsibility in your life as a Christian man and sensed that you could not do it on your own? Yeah, that's actually a good place to be. But what I want to encourage you guys with is that God doesn't call us to be responsible and be good stewards in our own strength and our own resources and our own understanding. I want to challenge you guys. You know, there's a lot of dudes that I know, they're trying to do life on their own. They're trying to figure out marriage and figure out family and figure out finances, and they're not talking to any other brothers in their life. They're just trying to do it all on their own, just me and Jesus. Well, you know what? Jesus, unless he shows up in your bedroom at night and tells you what to do, he's probably going to speak to you through your other brothers and through his word. Yes. We're not called to do it on our own. Now, I want you to look there at verses 14 through 18 as we get into this parable. And we see here in Matthew 25, verse 14, how we start out. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Now, the talent that's spoken of here is a weight, not a coin. And the value of the talent varied as to whether it was gold or silver or copper. And Jesus probably is using money to describe what he's talking about because, well, money is one of the most understood commodities anywhere on earth. You know, you've got certain amounts of money, and Jesus challenges his followers here, and even telling this parable that they're to be faithful and diligent in whatever he gives them, whether a gift, ability, responsibility, or blessing, you get the idea. Responsibility involves, in verses 14 and 15, an important subject, an important thing that I've already said, stewardship. Kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. And he delivered his goods to them. It's interesting to note that here in Matthew's gospel, the kingdom of heaven is mentioned 31 times. It's almost as if Jesus was trying to show us all these different ways to think about the kingdom of heaven and how it operates and what it looks like. Jesus speaks of the kingdom of heaven. He compares it to a ruler that had many servants and had set them into certain responsibilities, and then he leaves for a journey. Remember, part of the purpose of the parables was to sort of illustrate the way something works, to make them fathomable, understandable, relatable to those that were listening. And so Jesus told this to show us what the kingdom of heaven is like, to show us, hey, you have responsibilities. Jesus is showing us through this parable the reality of the kingdom, that God gives his servants things to be productive with. Think that in your own mind and think about your own life. What has God given you and called you to be responsible with? What kind of goods does God entrust to you? Of course, everybody's different. Some have a lot of money, not a lot of time. Some have a lot of time, not a lot of money. Some have a lot of resources and not a lot of time. You get the idea. We're all different. But God still calls us uniquely to use those things according to his will and according to his plan. And the idea was the master called them. He put good things, good gifts, good provisions in their hands while he was away. His property to be looked after and increased while he was away. See, everything that's bestowed upon us in our lives, I think about my beautiful wife, Kenda. We just celebrated our 21st anniversary on Wednesday. Hallelujah. I don't know why she stays around. No, she's great. And I think about my kids, and I think about our home, and you know, I think about the vehicles that we have. I think about the spiritual opportunities that God gives. And I think, man, Lord, you've blessed me so much. And I just want those things to be the best they can be, the healthiest they can be for your glory. This is the way we have to think because we're called to be those that take responsibility seriously. The property of the Lord means here, the world, the souls of men, the servants are given the very same mission. There's different ways you can even perceive this. Sometimes God puts people in our lives because he wants us to invest in them and to lead them to him. But I love verse 15 that says he gave one five, one two, and then one. And then he went on a journey, each according to his own ability. I want to pause for a second and get you to sort of underline that, to each according to his own ability. God uniquely gives things to each of us as men, and we're not all the same. So we have to be careful not to compare ourselves to this person. A lot of times we look and say, well, they have this and I don't have that. Or I have this and they don't have that. Look, we're all unique. And God blesses us according to our ability, the way he wants to work in our lives. God gives his responsibilities based on what he knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Isn't that awesome? Each servant receives all the gifts, everything that they need and can use. Throughout my life, I've found that God continues to give and give and give. And in those gifts, he calls me to be responsible. When it comes to responsibility, when it comes to being a godly provider, we have a responsibility to take care of our families. We have a responsibility to manage the money and the time and the talents that God gives us. What are we doing with those things? Are we using them for the glory of God or for our own selfish indulgence? Different sums of money points out how God, I think, uniquely recognizes each person with their varied circumstances, with their varied personalities. We're all different. I don't know about you, but that's so encouraging that God knows us. We're unique. But responsibility also implies faithfulness. Look at verses 16 and 17. He says, "Then who had received five, traded, made another five. Likewise, the guy that gained two more." So they were productive with what was entrusted to them. Pause for a second and consider that everything that's entrusted to you, God wants you to be productive with, not by your own strength, but by his. I like to think about my wife, even though she has her own walk with the Lord, I want to be an encourager to my wife. I want my wife to be more healthy spiritually because I'm in her life as her husband, more so than when we met. Now, I can't control her own personal decisions, but I can try to encourage her and make sure that she is growing and being strengthened and all the different things God wants us to be productive with. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful." It's a great verse. Stewards are called to be faithful. Stewards are those that have things that aren't necessarily theirs. They're sort of put in charge of things that are on loan that end up being things they have to take care of and make better. You know, one way that you can really figure out if somebody understands stewardship, have you guys ever, like, borrowed somebody's car? Has someone ever borrowed your car? So here's the real catcher. Did it come back cleaner than when you gave it to them? Did you put gas in the car that you gave back to your friend? "Hey man, can I borrow your truck?" And you left gum wrappers all over the floor, and you know, it's like, did it come back better than when you got it? You find a lot about where a person understands stewardship by what they do with what's loaned to them on a temporary basis. Faithfulness. When we're faithful servants of the Lord, it means we go the distance with something the Lord has called us to. He gives us so many blessings. He blesses us financially, but what are we going to do with those things? Are we going to do the things that honor God? Are we going to go the distance with those things? God wants us to follow through faithfully with what he entrusts to us. But responsibility also includes diligence, and this is what we really see the opposite of in verse 18. Notice it says, "But he who had received the one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Here we see the exact opposite of diligence. We see laziness. The servant's response to his master's call was completely opposite of those other servants. Instead of doing something, he just went and lazily put it in the ground so he didn't have to deal with it. Instead of putting in an effort into investing and managing the funds, he simply did nothing with it. I don't know about you, but I think it's a scary thing for one day the Lord to say, "Hey, remember all that money that I gave you? And you never asked me what I wanted to do with it. You just went and bought something. Remember all that time I gave you? You never asked me what you wanted me to do with that time. The servant didn't do anything with what his Lord had given him. And the Bible compels us to be diligent with what God gives us. I like what 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." I want to finish this point in this part of the parable by saying, if we're going to be a godly provider has to embrace their responsibility. Do you see your God-given responsibilities and know how God wants you to be productive with your spouse, your life, your time, your kids, your money? The idea behind this element of responsibility is that what the Lord has given every believer are areas where he wants us to be diligent, he wants us to be productive. And again, that question of asking ourselves, do I consider that what I have is really the Lord's? Lord, you've blessed me this way. This is your vehicle, even though I'm driving it. This is my wife, but she's also your kid. These are my children, but they're your children. How am I taking care of them? How am I being responsible? One of the things that's interesting is all those areas, whether it's marriage, kids, family, time, money. The biggest danger in our lives is where we actually say, well, you know what, as a Christian man, I want to be a godly man, but I'm only going to give God like 25% of my life. He only gets 25%. The other 75% is mine. That's it. Some people say, well, I'll give God my money, but I'm not going to give God my time. Some people say, well, I'll give God my time instead of my money. I'll give God 2 days out of the week, but not seven. And whenever we think that way, we're thinking irresponsibly, because God wants it all. And ultimately, he has better ideas than we do.
Amen.
I mean, who are we to think that we know better than God? We should say, okay, Lord, you bless me with this, and I want to do my job and figure it out. And you know what? We'll thank ourselves later because we're listening to the Lord. Second part of this parable points to reward. And so we've seen how a godly provider embraces their responsibility. He's given us a stewardship. He's given us things to be responsible with. But this other part has to do with reward in verses 19 through 23. And I want you to look there in your Bibles as we continue on in the parable. Jesus goes on to say, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" If you're taking notes, write this down. 2 Corinthians 5:10. You know, the Bible tells us very plainly, very clearly, that one day Christians are going to go to a place of having their lives sort of weighed out, judged. Not whether we go to heaven or hell, but whether we receive reward or loss. And it says there in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." One day we're either going to be rewarded for our diligence, for our faithfulness, for our good stewardship, or we're going to have things taken away, reward or loss. Reward in this parable involved commendation there in verses 19 through 21. He tells both of these guys, the 5 and the 2, "Well done." It's a praise from the master. "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know about you, when I read those are words I want to hear the Lord say to me. Do you want to hear those words?
Yes. Amen.
You have to take your responsibilities seriously. You have to be a person that says, you know what? There is a reward that matters more than anything in this life. I can be satisfied temporarily in what this world has to offer, but ultimately down the road, it's not worth sacrificing eternal reward and doing things that honor the Lord. Verses 19 through 21 really are a picture of the judgment seat of Christ, like I read, and how faithful believers are being rewarded for their service to Jesus. But he says, great job. Well done, good and trustworthy servant. These guys were good, they were trustworthy because they were productive. I think something we can ask ourselves is, how are the things God has entrusted to me benefiting the kingdom of God? How are they affecting people around me? How am I using my home as a ministry tool? How am I using my vehicle? How am I using my money to further the gospel? These two servants were good. They were trustworthy. But I want you to notice something important in those verses. Notice that they say, Lord, you delivered to me. That's a very important phrase. You know why? Because it shows us that these servants understood that they didn't get this on their own merit, their own ideas, that they had received this from the Lord. I think we always have to keep that in mind. A lot of you married guys know that it's really important to recognize that, hey, God, you brought this woman in my life. She's here for a reason. And sometimes we don't get along, but Lord, you delivered her to me. Kids as well. Recognizing the source of those blessings and that we're meant to be responsible with them. It's a picture of appreciation here, thankfulness. There was a sense of responsibility that these servants had that I think is important to highlight. You know, a lot of times we walk around and we're not thankful. And you know the reason why is because we're looking at maybe what we don't have or what's not right. You know, if we spend all of our time looking at what we do have and what is good and what we've been blessed with, we would have no room to complain. Yes. We would be walking around with so much more joy, so much more peace, if we didn't spend all of our time thinking about the 20 extra things in my life that I need, you know. We have so much. We're so blessed. These two servants worked at full capacity. They exerted 100% effort and they received sort of 100% increase. As I want you to pay attention, because there was this commendation, this well done, this good job, trustworthy servant, but then there's this element that I think is important to highlight when it comes to reward is promotion in verses 22 and 23. He says, you've been faithful over a few things there in verse 23. I will make you ruler over many things. The Lord commended these two faithful servants and gave them great rewards. Rulership, joy, the joy of the Lord is an amazing gift. It's something the Lord gives us when we walk in obedience, when we choose his path. But Jesus is communicating here that our faithfulness in small things will lead to a greater responsibility in bigger things. So let me just kind of say this real clear. A lot of us, In our Christian ministry, or, you know, we do want to do great things for God. We want to, you know, everybody's always thinking about the big things. But let me just tell you, there's a whole lot of small things. Yes. And God's not going to give you bigger things unless you can be faithful with the small things. So let me just speak this plain and simple. Look, if you're a servant and you serve in your church, don't come in and say, I need to be in charge. Everybody needs to listen to me. Be faithful with the small things and follow someone else's lead. And if you're faithful, God will put you in a greater responsibility, in a greater position. So many times you can tell that people are not doing things for the Lord. They're doing things for ego because they're not willing to follow someone else in the church. Well, I don't want to do my own thing. But you have to be faithful with small things. Are you faithful with the little things that God has placed in your life? The principle here is be diligent, be faithful, be responsible with the things in your life from the small, and it will increase to the bigger. God will give you more responsibilities. Reward is also something that includes the idea of celebration here, and that's the idea in verse 23 toward the end. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, let's celebrate together. The master said, let's celebrate together. Being faithful with God's resources and God's gifts in our lives not only will be a cause for joy when Jesus returns, but it will bring joy in our lives. It will cause us to be people that are not tied to the material things, but focused on the Lord and honoring God with those material things. Ultimately, walking in the Spirit is experiencing this joy. It's that fruit of the Spirit. Recognizing, Lord, I want to honor you. I'll not only receive a reward later on, and maybe that's even beside the point. Lord, I just want to honor you, but there's joy in the present. And a godly provider embraces their future reward. You know, I've never met a person that I would say is godly, a person that's living Godward. David did a great job of explaining that, that's living towards the Lord, who doesn't consider eternity after this life, who doesn't look at everything in their life and say, God, thank you for blessing me with this. Hey, I want to just share something with you, because some of you are like, you know, I don't know if God blessed me with this vehicle because it's kind of a beater. God blessed me with some beaters over the years. And you know what? I learned to be thankful for those beaters. And eventually, different things came along. Vehicles exploded. Other vehicles came along, and it's wonderful. But a godly provider embraces future reward. And the truth that Jesus is communicating here is the believers will be rewarded by the Lord for their faithfulness with the things God gives them. And let me just say, he provides for us that we can provide for our families. And we're meant to be good stewards of all that he blesses us and gives us. Some of you are like, I don't know what to do with those things. Look, read your Bible, pray, but remember, the Bible has this idea that the older teach the younger. Sometimes you young guys, you got to talk to some of the dudes that have been walking with Jesus longer than you. You're not called to reinvent the wheel. Ask somebody else.
Yes.
It'll help you out. It'll relieve some stress. You're struggling in your marriage. Like, I don't know why I don't like this woman anymore. Well, look, dude, if you try to deal with that on your own, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get the wrong perspective. You need to go talk to another person that's been married longer than you and says, oh, yeah, I felt that way, and we had to work some differences out. And, you know, I had to, you know, adjust my communication, and we had to spend more time together and focus on the good things, not on the bad things. You'll be encouraged. We need others. Those who've been good stewards of their time, their material resources and abilities God has given them can expect commendation, can expect joy, and really can experience an abundant life right now with the Lord. Lord, I want to honor you with these things. Show me my part in these stewardships. Now, in this last part of the parable, Jesus illustrates this idea of reckoning. And these verses are kind of scary. If you look at verses 24 through 30, notice how it finishes out. It says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Notice what happens. Therefore, the master says, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here, the last part of this parable is having to do with the unprofitable servant and sort of the consequences, the reckoning, the judgment that he receives from his master. And really, this is a plain and simple warning to take our responsibility seriously. But let me just say, When it comes to reckoning here, we see excuses, we see rebukes. The unprofitable servant says there in verse 24 is his master was too demanding. You're too stern. You're not sympathetic to my emotional needs. He was too strict. It was too hard. So ultimately, he didn't really even understand his master. Instead of being thankful, hey, thank you for giving me this money to be responsible with, he said, oh, you're too hard to please, and really gave in to that lazy side that said, I'm just going to do what is easiest for me and bury it until he comes back. You know, switching gears a little bit, as you think about that wicked servant burying the money and making an excuse this way, the first excuse, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't serve or seek to honor God with what God gives them because, well, it's just too hard. It's just too hard to give some of my money to the Lord. You know, we're called to be people that look at the money, the time that we get, and say, I get to keep this much, Lord. I get to have this amount of time to myself, and you only want this amount of time for what you want me to do. But we often think of it the opposite way. This is my money, and God gets this little part. This is my time, and God gets this little part, when we should be saying the opposite.
Yes.
Sometimes people say, it's too hard to serve God. Look, I would argue with that and say, you know, it is way harder to not listen and be responsible towards God as your master, because the consequences are way worse than just simply bucking up and doing the right thing to start with. A lot of people say, well, it's no fun. It's too hard. Well, it's a lot harder not to follow the Lord. The truth is, God wants to grow us and not give us comfort and pleasure all of the time. But we live in a world that's sort of brainwashed in this regard. You know, we think everything has to revolve around us. Everything has to be easy. Everything has to be just quick, microwave life. Sometimes it takes time. But notice the second excuse in verse 25. He says, I was afraid. And this really should stand out, because this is one of the things I've seen. So many people controlled by fear that they never do what God wants them to do because they're afraid. Many people don't serve the Lord. They don't give their time. They don't honor God with their money because they're afraid. Fear keeps them from doing the things they know is right. Fear of what? Well, fear of what others think. Fear of more responsibility. You know, I've actually known people that said, I don't want to start helping out in the church. You know, if I stay around on Sundays just a little bit too long, well, they're going to ask me to do more stuff. And so there's this fear of the church sort of leeching in on them and being like, we're going to use you and abuse you and chew you up and spit you out. That's not true at all. Like, if anything, you would be encouraged and strengthened, bear more fruit in your life by hanging out longer, by being around and having maybe some small responsibilities and ways of participating. Well, there's some rebukes here in verses 26 and 27. And the first rebuke is Jesus, this master, saying, you know, wicked and lazy servant. He was slothful. And the truth of the matter is, when it came to him being wicked and lazy, he was wicked and lazy because he was doing exactly what he wished to do. You know, there's something that is interesting in my life, and you may be able to relate to this, you may not be able to, but there is a lot of time where I know that God is leading me to do something, and you know how I know? I don't want to do it. Thank you. That's exactly my life. So many times there's some person that I'm supposed to talk to, and I'm like, I don't want to talk to this person. They're weird. This person's annoying. Squeaky little voice, you know. It's like, what's the deal? But then I go, wait a minute, I don't want to do it. It has to be the Lord. And then there's always these incredible opportunities, and I always look back, and then I'll tell someone the story, they'll be like, wow, you're so spiritual. And you know what I'll do? I'll say, no. I'm an idiot. And I didn't want to talk to this person. And that's how I knew it was the Lord. Sometimes we only want to do the things that are easy for us. And Jesus rebukes this wicked servant for that. But he also rebukes him because he was inconsistent, double-minded. He's harsh, he's stern, but he gave you money and gave you a responsibility. You know, that didn't make any sense. His master entrusted him with something, and yet he saw his master in the wrong way. The truth is, whenever we get our mind in the wrong place, it can snowball really fast. That's why we need the Word of God, and that's why we need people around us that give us good words from God. Yes. Have you ever thought something totally kind of crazy, kind of off, and you've told another brother, and they've shared with you the truth, and you've been like, man, that's wrong thinking. You know that all of us have those things come up sometimes. Yes. This servant had gotten his thinking wrong when it came to his master and looked at him as somebody he was not and gave into his own laziness and buried his responsibilities, and now he's getting dealt with by his master. And none of us want to be in this place, do we? Therefore, he says, take from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For even what he has will be taken away. The person that gets the extra one will have more. And cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness. This unprofitable servant was stripped of what he had, cast into outer darkness. I think here, as we're thinking about this unprofitable servant, let me just say that I really believe that Jesus had in mind those that completely reject their master and don't accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, that end up being cast into outer darkness because they haven't accepted the only way to be saved. But isn't it sort of tearing at your heart and wanting to make sure, hey, I want to be responsible. I don't want to have to stand before the Lord and get some rebukes or have to make excuses. I want to be able to stand in confidence and say, Lord, I think I did what you wanted me to do. Now, the cool thing is that when it comes to being a godly provider, when it comes to leading our families, being responsible with our money, our time, our talents, if we mess up, we can always go to the Lord and say, God, help me get back on track. I think a lot of guys get into a place where they say, man, I messed up just way too much. I don't know if I can ever get things right. Look, let me just tell you that the Bible is riddled with stories of people that did dumb stuff and did more dumb stuff and did extra dumb stuff. Amen. And then went the right way. So be encouraged. Yes. Be encouraged, because if God can work in a guy like Bungie Garrett, he can work in anyone. Now, some of you guys think I'm joking around. Look, I knew Bungie when he was lost. And I knew him when he was a person that was a menace to society. And let me tell you, miracles can happen. Menaces can become ministers.
I love a little wordsmithing there.
I got what I got. But listen, the man with the most talents received extra talents.
How about from the mosh pit to the pulpit or something like that?
I'm going to get a shirt. Listen, guys, as we finish out this time, as we think about reckoning, the godly provider is reverent towards God when it comes to reckoning. And let me just put it to you in simple terms. If we're going to be a godly provider, if we're going to be a godly man that's responsible with what we're given, then we have to be people, we have to be men that look at eternity and say, God, I take that whole thing seriously, and I want to honor you with my life. Yes. Poor stewardship leads to losing what a person has. Amen. But good stewardship leads to greater privilege and greater responsibility. And you know what? God is gracious to forgive us. Isn't it awesome that God displays so much grace for us men who really have no reason for God to do anything good for us? Godly provider is a godly steward. And as a godly provider, we're called to make our lives count for eternity. Count for the benefit of others. To not be wicked, lazy servants, but to be good and faithful stewards of all that God places in our care. Our great concern should be, Lord, am I honoring you with what you've given me in my life? To pray that prayer and to seek for the Spirit to give us wisdom, for the Word to give us direction. When we decide to honor God with the things He gives us, we're going to be people of action. People that want to use what we have to benefit God's kingdom, God's word. The purpose of this parable is pretty clear, isn't it? Being ready for Jesus to come back. Being the person that thinks about eternity. Being a person that really considers everything in their life to be on loan from the Lord. We're called to be responsible. We're made for another world, not this world. But we often think this is it. But this is not it. This is just a pit stop. This is just a hotel stay. And we're called to consider eternity and be faithful, godly stewards, godly providers.